heart that cannot be denied. It's a longing that has never yet been satisfied. I want the world to know the one who loves them so. Like a flame, it's burning deep inside. To be used of God, to sing, to speak, to pray. To be used of God, to show someone the way. His consuming fire, to be used of God is my desire. When I think about the shortness of my earthly years, I remember all the wasted days, the wasted years. I long to preach the word to those who've never heard of the one who can dispel all fear. To be of God, to sing, to speak, to pray. To be used of God, to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of His consuming fire. To be used of God is my desire. To be used of God, to sing, to speak, to pray. To be used of God, to show someone the way. I long so much to feel that touch of His consuming fire. To be used of God, to be used of God, to be used of God is my desire.
Amen. Amen. What a great truth, and I pray that's your desire tonight as well, to be used of God. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalms 119, please. Psalm 119. When you find that, if you stand to your feet, if you're able, as we read the Word of God, Psalm 119 and verse number 97. And keep your Bibles open, as always, if you would, and want to show you a number of scripture verses through this psalm as we look at this tonight. And I want to give you a challenge that the Lord has spoken to my heart about, and I pray is a help to you tonight, and talk to you about this subject of what is your relationship with your Bible. And let's look at this tonight in Psalms 119, verse 97. The Bible says, "Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever before me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. couple of verses that are shown here, and this is a common song we sing with our teenagers, and so it's hard not to sing it as we read it. But verse 97, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." And then as you look at verse number 103, it says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And aren't you thankful for the Word of God tonight? And what a blessing it is, to the privilege to have the Word of God in your language for this generation, to have in your home, but in your hands. The average American owns several copies of the Word of God, and many in this room probably have more than that. But more than just owning a Bible, what is your relationship with your Bible? Let's have a word of prayer tonight as we begin. We thank you, Lord, for this night. Speak to us through your Word as we get a message about the Word of God. And would you challenge us about our relationship with the Bible? Lord, how precious it is to have the Word of God. May we hold it dear to our hearts and make it as a part of our lives, not just something to hold, but something to have in our hearts that we live by. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This psalm, Psalm 119, speaks of the Word of God all through this psalm. All but a couple of the verses mention about the Word of God, and it's a beautiful psalm about the Word of God. Gives so many different angles, if you will, about what God's Word means to us, what it should mean to us, and what part of our lives it should have. And it's just such a powerful truth to us as we look at this tonight. And we're not going to go through all of the different words here for the Word of God, but it talks I guess if you turn to the beginning of the psalm and verse number 1, there's 8 different words used for the Word of God that we see here that relate to the Bible. And in verse number 1, it talks about the law. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." The law is meaning to teach or to direct. It's a commandment that God gives to us. The Word of God is not a suggestion to us. It's a book of commandments of what to do, what not to do, not to come to it and say, "Well, I like this law, I don't like that law," and kind of tear them out. I want to see how that works if you go driving down the road and you find a policeman and you say, "Well, I don't like that law, so I'm going to choose my own law." And they're going to say, "Well, we are the law, and I don't care what your law is." And so the Word of God is our law. In verse number 2, it talks about the testimony. It said, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." The word testimony speaks of a witness. To obey his testimonies, it shows loyalty to the law that God gave to us, and it's a witness to us. As you look in verse number 3, it says, "They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways." And then if you look in verse number 4, it says, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." The precepts is a word that is drawn from word meaning an officer or an overseer. One that looks to the responsibility of others as God looks at us with the Word of God and as he gives us precepts and instruction. And it's a law book again for us, instructions that gives us details about life. As you continue on in verse number 5, it says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." The statutes is a word that comes from a word that means to engrave or to inscribe. And speaking of the Word of God, we have power from the Word of God because it comes from God and it's given to man and it's God's words, not man's words. You think of Moses when he went up the mountain and got the Ten Commandments and God wrote on the stones and he engraved in the stones the Word of God. And that's a picture of the permanence of the Word of God, that it came from the Lord. As you look in verse number 6, it says, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." The commandments is a word that emphasizes straight authority of what should be done, direct orders that we must follow. They're commandments, again, not suggestions. And then in verse number 7, it is the last one we'll look at. It says, "I will praise thee with an uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments." The judgments that God gives to us concerning his word to discern between right and wrong, and God is our judge. and the law is our judge. So as you look at the Word of God, and as you look at these, I want to encourage you, not right now, but at a later time, to go through Psalms 119. What I'd like to encourage you to do is every time you come to a word that we covered that relates to the Word of God, I want to encourage you to circle it. Again, not right now, because you'd be here for a long time, because there's 176 verses, if I'm not mistaken. So that would take you a while to go through it. Almost every single verse speaks of the Word of God. Go through that and circle every word that refers to the Word of God. And then what I want to encourage you with that as well is every time you see the Word of God, it challenges us and encourages us to do something with it. Right? When you come to the Word of God, some churches would say you come to church, you come as you are, you stay as you are, you leave as you are. We're just here to make you feel good. Do you realize that the Bible doesn't do that with our lives? The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit, and to discern of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God pierces and prods and pricks our hearts. Why? Because God wants to make a difference and cut some things out and put some things in. And guess what? God wants to change your life. Every time you come to the Word of God, God wants to change your life. And every time we come into the preaching of the Word of God, God wants to change our hearts, change our lives, to get the wrong out and put the right in. There's never a time you come to the Word of God and you think, I'm doing everything the Bible has told me to do. I'm a perfect Christian. I'm the perfect husband, father, parent, boss, employee. I'm the perfect person, specimen, walking this earth, and I have no changes that need to be made. If that's you, you are prideful enough that God is going to bring you low, and be careful of that, because God wants to make a change in our lives. And when we come with the right spirit, and I pray that it would be our spirit every time that we come to the Word of God, whether it's in personal devotion time or whether it be in the preaching of the Word of God or teaching it, I pray that our desire would be this: God, change my life today. God, give me one thing today that I need to work on, that I need to take out, that I need to be put in, or maybe something you need to be encouraged. Aren't you encouraged when you come to church and someone preaches it and you're like, I've been doing that. Yes, I'm doing right. You probably still need the altar as I do as well. But when you come to the Word of God, you think, God, I've been doing that. I've been working on that. And you can be encouraged, challenged, convicted, reproved from the Word of God. So again, I want to challenge you on your own to come to every word in the book of Psalm 119. Circle every word that refers to the Word of God and underline every word where God gives you either something to do with the Word of God or a benefit that comes from listening and learning and changing your life from the Word of God. There's a Bible commentary written by a man named Matthew Henry. He was introduced to Psalms 119 as a child. His father, Philip Henry, told his children to take one verse from Psalm 119 every morning and to meditate on it. And they'd go through the book of Psalm 119 twice in a year. He'd say, take one verse every day and meditate on that one verse through the day and go through the 176 and start over again, and that about equals two times in a year. And as he would go through that, his father told him, he says, when you read this, he said, that will bring you to be in love with all the rest of the scriptures. Perhaps that's why Matthew Henry loved the Bible so much and wrote commentaries that are still used today. To take the Word of God and to make it a part of your life. Not something that you do, not something that you just participate in, not a devotion time where you read your Bible and then you set it aside. If I close it, then I don't have it marked. And you set it aside and you go about your day and said, I got my Bible in, and now I get to leave the Bible behind as I go about my day. Instead of doing this, as you get in the Word of God and you meditate in God's Word and you read it, and you say, God, now that I started with the Word of God, I want to carry it with me all day long. I want to meditate on it. I want to muse on it. I want to memorize the Word of God. I want the Word of God to guide and to direct my life. What is your relationship with the Word of God? I was thinking about this. Don't know how the relation came to me, but I was thinking about dating in Bible college. We have our college students. They are leaving us in the next couple of weeks, for many of them going back to Bible college. And we've enjoyed having them here this summer. We are so strengthened and encouraged by our college students, for those that are serving and come back, and those that stay as well. And we appreciate you. But I was thinking about dating in Bible college. If you didn't go to Bible college, you missed the, I don't know if you call it dating frenzy, if you will. You talk to someone of the opposite gender, and they pretty much marry you on the spot, is pretty much how it goes. If you sit in chapel, you've probably already been married for a couple of years. You sit on the chairs out front, or you sit in a meal together, and you have all these goofy phases that everyone gives you you're supposed to do. And my wife and I dated in college our senior year, and we were on the fast track to get married the next year, and the Lord was with that. Thank the Lord for that. Thank you for saying yes. But I was thinking about that in regards to you meeting your spouse, dating, courting, whatever, betrothed, arranged marriage, whatever it was for you, and meeting that person, and you got to know that person over time. Maybe you got married like the first date. I'm not sure. I don't want to ask for a raise of hands with that. But you get to know someone over a period of time, and you find out their likes, their dislikes, their favorites, where they like to eat, what they like to do. More important than that, what they believe. What they believe from the Word of God. If you're going to, young person, that's important to start there. It's nice to have all the likes and dislikes on the same page, but when it comes to your beliefs, that's the foundation of your relationship. If they're saved in a good church, a Christian following the Lord, that should be the beginning of it. I know that doesn't sound romantic, but that's what keeps you together as a couple, when you have beliefs on the same page. And I was thinking about that in regards to your relationship with your Bible. And sometimes people fall in like with each other, and it's really more about looks and likes and dislikes and those things, but those things come and go over time. But when there is love and there's beliefs and there's a bond that God has brought you together for life, that's something that keeps you together. And I was thinking about that in relation to the Word of God. What is your relationship with the Word of God? There's a time where you open your Bible for the first time or the first few times, and you go, what am I reading? What do these words say? And you're getting to know the Word of God, but God starts speaking to you. You didn't learn everything about your spouse the first time you talked. Unless if you did the online dating and you checked all their profile, I don't know. But when you come to the Word of God, you're not going to be an expert at the Word of God the first time that you open it up, but it takes time. It takes effort. It takes spending time together, just as a young person would with another, getting to know them and finding out, is this who God wants me to spend the rest of my life with? As a Christian, God has given us the Word of God for us to spend the rest of our lives with, to have as a part of our lives, if you will, in regards to marriage, till death do us part, that the Bible would be a part of your life, not just something you spend a few moments in at a part of the day, but you live it. And it lives inside of you. And it's a part of your being. And everything that you do and say and how you act goes back to, what does the Word of God say? That should be what our lives are about. What is your relationship with the Word of God? Is it non-existent? Is it not there at all? I was looking this up. A third of Americans who attend Protestant churches, it says, regularly, 32% say they read the Bible personally every day. 32% of people that attend a Protestant church of some sort, we're not Protestants, but 32% read their Bible every day, and about a quarter, 27%, say they read it a few times a week. Fewer say they read it once a week, 12%, a few times a month, 11%, once a month, 5%, and continues on from there. But it's amazing how many Christians just don't spend time in their Bibles. Now, I'm not at your house every day. You're not at mine every day, unless if you live with me. But I don't know your relationship with your Bible, but if you look at statistics and polls, and I'm not sure I agree with all of those exactly, but I'll say this, though, that many people, Christians, saved, going to heaven, know that you're saved beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Lord is your Savior, believe in the Word of God, but yet we neglect it. And it's just non-existent, just not a part of our lives. We say we believe it, and we kind of pick it up on a Sunday, and we leave it the rest of the time. How's your relationship with your Bible? Is it non-existent? Is it casual? Is it just kind of like when I get around to it, when I feel like it? You know, if nothing else takes its place, then I'll spend time in the Word of God. Again, if that's how you take your relationship with your parent, with your spouse, and you say, I'll get around to you when I get time. They may not be there long enough for you to get around to them. If you get what I'm saying, they may say, well, I'm going somewhere else then. Is it just casual, or is there a dedication to your relationship with your Bible? Is it just kind of friendly? And you're fond of the Bible, but it's not really your guidebook. It's not really controlling in your life. It's just, I like spending time with the Bible, but I'm not sure about everything. Or is there a dedication to the Word of God that brings you back to it, a love for the Word of God, that you come back to God's Word every day, and you must have it as a part of your life? I want to look at some benefits from the Word of God. I'm not going to go through all of them. I wrote down quite a few verses through this psalm that I want to encourage you to circle or underline or things of that nature. But your relationship with the Word of God, does the Word of God make a change in your life when you read it? Has God made a change in your life since you've been saved? Amen. We'll try that again. Has God made a change in your life since you've been saved? Amen. And God wants to continue that change and that working in your life. And there's some benefits that come to the Word of God. Just as physically, when you exercise, eat good, take care of yourself, get the sleep, the water, all those things you need, it helps you to be healthier. Well, as a Christian, there's benefits to the Word of God. Daily benefits, you must get in there every day to find those benefits from the Word of God. And we're going to look just in this psalm to look at the Word of God tonight. First of all, I want to see when you come to the Word of God, you find a hope. You find hope. Look at verse number 43. And we'll look at a couple of these, and you could go on and take each of these words and find them in the rest of the psalm. But in verse 43, it says, "And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments." Look at verse number 49. It says, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope." The word of the servant which caused me to hope. Look at verse number 74. Verse 74, the Bible says, "They that fear thee will be glad when they shall see me, because I have hoped in thy word." We'll look at one more in verse number 81. It says, "My soul fainted for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." Christian, tonight, is your hope in the Bible? Is your hope in the Word of God? If your hope is in politics, there's no hope there. If your hope is in the economy, there's no hope there. If your hope is in a political leader, there is no hope there. If your hope is in money, there's no hope there. But when your hope is in God and in the Word of God, there's an expectation, not I hope so, but there is hope, there's trust, there's delight, there's expectation when you come to the Word of God that when God says it, He will do it. There's hope in the Word of God. If you've lost your hope, come to the Word of God. If you're discouraged, come to the Word of God. When things aren't going so well, come to the Word of God. There's hope in the Word of God. Number two, there's delight in the Word of God. Turn back to verse number 16. Verse number 16, it says, "I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." To delight is to have enjoyment, fulfillment, pleasure, satisfaction. God gives you a satisfaction, a peace that passes all understanding. This world cannot satisfy as God satisfies. This world is constantly trying to find satisfaction in all the wrong places. But can I bring it home tonight that many times Christians are trying to do the same thing as well? trying to find satisfaction in a job or a friendship or entertainment, all these things, to have satisfaction, enjoyment, fulfillment in your life, you must delight in the Word of God. Delight in it. To find joy and pleasure, it fulfills you. See, the world brings pleasure that lasts for a season, and then it passes away. It doesn't last for long, but God gives you that delight, that satisfaction that lasts for a lifetime. We find hope in the Word of God. We find delight. Look at verse number 24. We'll read a couple more of these. Verse 24, it says, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." Verse 35, Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." We could go on with another five or six verses about delighting in the Word of God. There's hope in the Word of God. There's delight in the Word of God, but there's love in the Word of God. And the love is really what draws you to the Word of God. If you look at verse number 47, it says, "I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." We looked at the verses from Psalms 119, verse 97. "Oh, how love I thy law." Do you love your Bible? Do you have a relationship with your Bible? Is your Bible real to you, or is it just words on paper? Or does it mean something to you? I love my Bible, but I also love this Bible. I was given this Bible as I graduated from Bible college too many years ago now. When you start talking in decades, it starts getting discouraging a little bit. But this Bible was given to me when I graduated from Bible college. My cousin gave it to me. I found out last year he does not remember that. He goes, "What a great guy." But I love this Bible. There's nearly a page that I can turn to and not find underlined verses, sermons, notes, things that God has spoken to my heart about. I can't find a page that God has not spoken to me about something from the Word of God. You have a love for the Word of God. Oh, how love I thy law. Can you imagine not having a Bible tonight? If your Bible was taken away, if it was burned up, if it was illegal, if you lost your Bible and had no access to a Bible at all, could you imagine what that would be like? Would you miss it? Is it so much of a part of your life that you would miss something in your life that you had to have to love the Word of God? Next one is respect. As you look at verse number 6, it says, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." Verse number 15, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." Verse number 117, it says, "Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually." Do you have a respect for the Word of God? Many people today think that our society would be better off without the Word of God. Many people think the Word of God and the commandments from the Word of God are what's destroying our society. Can you believe that? A nation that is one nation under God believes, many people would say, that the Word of God is a danger and a hurt in our society because we've lost respect for the Word of God. I just thought about it right now, but there's a county, I believe, where they're trying to reinstitute the Bible into their public schools. I read about it just last week, I believe. And they're trying to put the Ten Commandments in the schools and the Word of God and prayer back in the school. And they're getting such backlash from all this harmful teaching that you'd put into the public school system. Lord, help us. Would to God that we had a love and a respect for the Word of God. And I'm not just talking about the rest of society. I'm talking about as Christians. That we'd have respect to God's Word. I better hurry because it's getting close in time. I'll skip to a couple of other ones. Verse number 50, we find comfort in the Word of God. We find comfort in God's Word. Verse 50 says, "This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." Comfort. Look at verse number 52. It says, "I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself." There's nothing like having a need, having a difficulty, having a question and coming to the Word of God and finding comfort in God's Word. Comfort. There's no one that comforts like God comforts. There's no one that helps a broken situation like God helps. There's no one that heals someone that's been stricken by sin like God can comfort someone. And when you have a need in your life, you come to the Word of God and you find comfort there. We'll look at a couple of other ones in verse number 98. Verse number 98. We see that the Word of God brings wisdom. The book of Proverbs is so much about wisdom. I challenge you to get in the book of Proverbs every day. And in verse number 98, it says, we read these already, "Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts." People that think that they're smarter than God, smarter than the Word of God, they think that they're wiser, these teachers, these ancients that think that they are smarter than the Word of God. When we think that we're smarter than God, we really have become fools. And when you come to the Word of God and you know the Bible principle, the Bible verse, but you say, "But I don't need that for this circumstance. I don't need it today, not for this child, not for this job situation." That's foolishness. May we take the Word of God and become wiser as we get in the Word of God. And then in verse number 7, we see that there's praise when you come to the Word of God. There's so much in the book of Psalms that talk about praising God. But in verse 7, it says, "I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments." Turn all the way to verse 164, please. Verse 164 says, "Seven times a day do I praise thee because thy righteous judgments." Verse 171, it says, "My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes." Verse 175, we'll finish with this. It says, "Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help thee." When you come to the Word of God, there's no way but to praise God. There's no way but to thank God. There's no way but to look and see how great God is and how much you need Him in your life and how thankful you are that God would speak to you through His Word. I challenge you to go through this psalm and take some time to meditate on that. Maybe to take a verse a day, as the challenge was given to this man, Matthew Henry. To take maybe to go through this and to circle, underline some words, and let God speak to you about the Word of God. So as we conclude tonight, what is your relationship with the Word of God? How could we take the Word of God for granted? How could we take the eternal, preserved, inerrant, perfect Word of God for granted and just leave it in places, neglect it, put it aside? How could we do that? How could we neglect it? How could we be bored and uninspired by the Word of God? God's Word is new every morning. You come to the Scriptures and you think, "I never saw that before. Where was that last time?" Probably dozing off or not paying attention, or maybe just God didn't show me that on what I needed for that day and that time. Let's not take the Word of God for granted. Do you see how precious the Word of God is to you? I hope it is. I hope it's more than just something to carry, to put on a shelf, to carry on a Sunday. I hope it's a part of your daily life, and that we'd make the Word of God a part of our lives, and we would not just make it a part of our lives, but we would live by the Word of God, to live by it. With head bowed and eyes closed, please, this evening, God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts about this precious Word of God, to think that I have a Bible, that you preserved it for all generations for me to have today, to spend time with you today. I wonder how many Christians today didn't even take time to spend in the Word of God. I'm thankful for those that came to church today. I'm thankful for those that taught and listened and brought visitors and all those things. But Lord, how is our relationship with the Bible? Is it personal? Is it real? Is it alive? I pray, Lord, you would challenge us about this relationship with the incredible Word of God. With head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? If the Lord spoke to your heart, would you respond to Him this evening. As the ladies begin to play, would you come? What does the Word of God mean to you? Let's make sure we rekindle our love for God's Word every single day. Let's not put it aside, neglect it, leave it, put it off till the end. Let's make it a focal point of our day and of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, and I'm thankful that you're ready to meet with us every single day, ready to spend time with your children and wanting to hear from us and wanting to speak to our hearts. May we determine this week to have a real and consistent relationship with you and walk with God. Thankful for the Word of God and thankful for a church that teaches and preaches the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to live it, to be faithful to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your attention tonight. A couple announcements, and then we'll be dismissed. This Wednesday, we have Pastor Darren Robinson that's going to be preaching for us this week. We're looking forward to that. Be with us this Wednesday night at 6:30. And so I want to encourage you to be here and in your place and looking forward to hearing from him. His wife should be coming with him. I was trying to talk her into singing, and I don't know. He was kind of borderline on that, so we'll probably get a half dozen songs out of her. So be here on Wednesday night. Looking forward to that. And then Shasta Baptist Schools begins a week from tomorrow. No amens from the kids or the teachers. Oh, some of the, all right, there we go. So it starts a week from tomorrow. And because of that, we're going to have a meeting with all of our parents of our kids in our school. Meet in the Home Builders classroom in just a moment. And so I want to get with you on our couple of back-to-school items. And then a couple things I wanted to mention to you as well is I wanted to say thank you for just your kindness to me on my birthday. Appreciate that very much for the cards and gifts and all the kind things that you did. So I appreciate you all very much, church. And also wanted to remind you, Brother Richard Roberts went to heaven this morning, and he was struggling with his health, but went pretty quickly. And to be honest, that was his desire, not to have a long struggle with that. But pray for Miss Carolyn. Her son is with her now and helping take care of some details. But thank you for your prayers and concern, checking on her with that as well. So be in prayer for the Roberts family with that. I did forget to make one announcement. I'm sorry. We have our parents' night out. This is Friday, August the 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. This is an opportunity for parents to bring your kids, drop them off at the church with our young people, and I believe we'll have adult supervision. I don't know if we align that up. Great. Miss Caitlin is in charge. Wonderful. And so it's a time for you to come to bring your kids and have what's called a date night with your spouse. Amen. Okay. And so you can bring your kids here, and snacks will be provided. Give them a meal before they come. We'll have older kids go in the gym, younger kids in here. We've done this before, but it was at our couples retreat that we did here. It's a fundraiser for our youth group. Emphasis on the fundraiser part. And so when you bring your kids, leave a healthy, wealthy donation for the young people helping to watch your kids for a couple hours. So if you would sign up so we know how many kids will be here that night, just want to give you an opportunity for parents to have a time to go out, if you would, please. So, all right, I believe that's all the announcements tonight, and we'll have a word of prayer. And then let me dismiss our parents. to go to the Home Builders classroom right now as we prepare for the meeting. Parents of our kids in Shasta Baptist Schools, homeschool, if you would please go there as well. That would be a help to cover a few items for the school year. And Brother Wood, would you come and lead us in prayer as we dismiss tonight, please?
Father, how thankful we are for your word. Oh, it molds us and makes us and challenges us and keeps us. Thank you for the church, for the preaching of your word. Thank you that we can come here in health. We pray that you'll bless us this week. We thank you for answered prayer. We just pray that you just bring us back to hear your word again. In Jesus' name, amen.